recognized him as one who knew her and loved her. Like, knew everything about her and loved her. And then from that was able then to evangelize people. But a lot of times I think, even coming from a Presbyterian background, I wish I would have had access to this. And if it would have been up to Benny Hinn or TBN, that would have never got me there. Like, I would have thought, that's not me, and that will never be me. And so it just seems so weird and different. But to realize, like, to give people access to the voice of God without having to go into weird places to do it, that was the heart behind it. Mm-hmm. Something that seems so strange. Mm-hmm. Just to be around normal people who seem just like them to experience it. That was part of the vision of it. So I want to, yeah, anybody else have questions? That was a great question. I took it and ran with it, but. I wanted to go to Habakkuk, one of those fun books. Habakkuk 2. Interesting. I was thinking about it while we turn to this. So Habakkuk is between Nahum and I'm just kidding. Imagine. It's between Nahum and Zephaniah.
I found the fuck out. Is that close enough?
Yeah, it's close. You're getting close.
Yeah, I got it.
It's one of those fun books. It's chapter 2, verse 2. And this, just when I was praying about this time, this just kept coming to me. So, and then I almost was not going to go here, and then I just flipped open my Bible, and there was it. I was like, okay.
It's so funny because my eyes caught that verse right away, and I was like, I've never read that verse before.
Really? That's funny.
That
yeah. So it says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak and it will not lie. And that's similar to what we were talking about. Like, a lot of times when you receive from the Lord, sometimes you don't even know, but once it happens and you realize, oh, he did speak. And it says, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I think that's so funny. So he said, it's going to tarry, but it will not tarry. And then it says, verse 4, behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And that's a famous verse, the just shall live by faith. But this is what is the setting of the just shall live by faith. That God gives a vision and then we write it down. So writing down the vision is an important aspect. When we're learning to hear the voice of God, whether it's by seeing or sensing or just that, again, just that impression. Because the way I like to explain the voice of God is mainly a spontaneous flow. It's kind of like you, and that's why it's so hard to know, is it me or is it him? Because it's similar to what we experience just going through the day, where our minds will just do this all day long, right? Well, the Spirit is similar. But once we get used to the Spirit, that it's the Spirit and it's not us. Because how many of you have ever had that experience where you're like thinking about somebody earlier in the day and then they call you and you haven't talked to them forever? That really was the Spirit sharing with you this person. That's not deja vu. That's not some coincidence. That's the Holy Spirit that has put them in you And like then it happens. But we think it's us because it's so similar. But once we start to distinguish what is God, what is me, and what is whatever else that influences our lives, we are able then to be guided by the Spirit more. And what happens with the Lord, because he said, walk in the Spirit. And the reason why he said that is because he believed that you were going to be directed by the Spirit. And that means we have to be sensitive to what is the Spirit saying. How do you begin to distinguish what is you and what is God? Writing it. Because guess what? You can look back and you can even hear the difference. Because some of it will be you and some of it will be him. And you can tell the difference because you're like, I don't sound like that. God would sound like that. Because you're like, I can't even come up with that. And he'll say something. And you can read it. But what happens is if we try to just listen and not write it, we'll judge it too quickly and then we get confused anyway. And it stops the flow of what God is trying to say. So allowing ourselves to write it is an important aspect. As well as that we can revisit it and say, okay, you said this. Nowadays with these lovely things, you can probably speak it, and it's the same thing too. You know what I mean? With voice recorders so available, you can just share, you can just say, I sense God is saying da da da, and just speak it into it, and then have it as a verbal diary of, and you're able then to measure too, did God fulfill it? Because I think that's what's so exciting is when you have an experience. So most of the time, though, it says it tarries. You'll write it, and then it also helps people to have vision for it besides yourself, and then it will tarry, meaning it won't happen immediately. Yeah. Now, there are times where it doesn't tarry. It happens immediately. That's so fun. The other day, a person asked me to pray for them. And I started praying for them, and I started getting that imagery of the prodigal son. And I know this person enough to know that they're not, like, sinful, you know, they're not. But I really just sense this idea of coming back to the Father's house, experiencing the Father's love, all this stuff, right? And then in it, I was like, I feel like God is going to just lavish upon you as you do this. He's just going to pour out upon you. I feel so much so. You're going to get a car. I started saying these things. The next day, he gets a car. Somebody gives him a car. I wasn't expecting that. I expected maybe a year from now he might have a car or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's so fun when those things happen. And it is fun. And just even to see the theme. But he spoke to me, and again, this is a trademark of PIHOP, is most of the time he'll use biblical imagery. He will use scripture to speak out of. And why do I enjoy that? Because these words are words of life. And people can always draw from them. But it's funny, I'll tell you, okay, I wasn't planning to go here, but I feel like it's important. Last week, some drama was happening in the midst of different people on our staff. And it was directed towards me. And so that's never fun, you know, who wants that? But at the same time, I want to know, God, what is happening? So I come to God and I just say, God, what is happening? Share with me. Are you trying to correct me? You know, what's going on? And I just wait. And then I just hear Psalm 56. So I turn to Psalm 56. And I look at it, and you know what? It made so much sense to me because I think it was just, it's like the devil is just trying to stir the waters to distract from what I need to really be focusing on. I'm just trying to put out little fires rather than focusing on what I need to be focusing on. So it says, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. Now, would I tell the people that were doing that to me that? No, I wouldn't do that. It just gave me perspective, not to be mad at the people even, But just like, God, take care of this, because I don't want to be swallowed up in all of this. I want to be focused on what you've given me to be focused on. And this, to me, is this, my enemies would hound me all day. When I think of my enemies, I'm not thinking of these people. I'm thinking of the demonic conspiracy against my life or whatever, that they want to keep me agitated or just interrupted. And so then I just prayed into it. It has stopped. Amen. So like, and that's just helpful, even in leadership, to be able to go to a God who can, and but I, reason why I explained that is he used the Bible, and he went right into my daily life and explained it right there. One day, I have lots of those. Because this was written so many years ago, but it can go right in to what, so I, one day was so upset, I had just gone through a breakup, and I was just thinking, all men are liars. Sorry. I was saying that. I said, is there an honest man anywhere? You know, that type of feeling. And then later that day, he just spoke to me out of Psalm 31. He says, you said in your heart, all men are liars. I was like, I did say that in my heart. I mean, I was thinking, God, how do you do that? But it's just such a fascinating, it's not Psalm 31, it's Psalm 116. Sorry, it's Psalm 116. Yeah, it just flashed in my head when I closed my eyes. It's like, Charles, you gave the wrong impression.
I feel like that makes just reading the word comes so much more alive too, and just, when God speaks to us, so-called prophetic,
it's verse 11.
In that way. Mm-hmm.
I said in my head, isn't that funny? It's like, it's a total different scenario.
Awesome.
And this is a way that we learn to process, even, is by hearing the voice of God versus processing with one another. Yeah. We do it through prayer. I mean, God gave us the Psalms to show us he's into processing. It's not that God's not into processing. He said, do it with me, though. It hurts less people. And it also will be considered prayer, which causes there to be deeper intimacy with him. So back to Habakkuk, this idea of writing the vision down. I just feel like God's going to just encourage you too, as you are been given leadership in the midst of this church, that God wants to give vision to you. It's just because of the position even. He will give vision to you. And in it, you're to be faithful and even write it down so that others in your midst can run with it. When Paul received the Macedonian call, they all said, we received it. They took it as their own call. They didn't just take it as his anymore. He didn't say, Paul received a call and we went with them. They said, we received a call and we went. So it has the empowering of giving people vision, and that God has done it. Yeah, amen. And then this idea of faith. I feel like that we want tangibles, but God wants to enable us to say, like, because two ingredients are necessary for God's vision. One is time. It will take time. And the other is it's bigger than you and anything you could do. He likes it that way. Time causes you not to be prideful. It says that in verse 4, behold the proud. He said, I'll make it tarry so you won't be prideful. I have a really good example of that. I guess God wants me to share a lot of experiences. I wasn't planning on doing that.
That's really good.
But I one day was awakened at 2:00 in the morning, and it's just one of those times where you know God's speaking to you. It's not like he's talking out loud, but I just got a pen and paper and just started writing everything I was sensing. But one of the things he did was sing a song. It's a cranberry song. And it says, you have to let it linger. It's a secular song. Do you have to let it linger? Do you have to let it linger. I've got you wrapped around my little finger. So that song is about 15 years old, maybe. I don't know. It's 10 years old. It's a while. I haven't heard the song for years, so I couldn't have just come up with that. And so he goes, I always give vision and let it linger because I want you wrapped around my little finger. And he said, the only thing that guarantees weakness is time. Time makes people weak. Because when you're waiting, let's say it better, waiting makes people weak. We hate waiting. That's why we've created a society where we never have to wait because we love feeling strong. But God enjoys waiting because it creates weakness. And weakness, he can only exalt the humble. And when you are in a place of waiting, you are becoming very humble. And so he shared with me, he said, I always give vision and then let it linger. And this right here is the scripture. He gives vision and then he lets it tarry. And then he says, but it will not tarry. Meaning, at the end of the day, it will not have felt, like it's not, the sting of the waiting will go away. The sting of the waiting is very real in the midst of waiting. But the sting, it goes away once the waiting is done. Yeah, and maybe some of you have prophetic vision. God has shown you different things about this congregation. Whatever, you know, that you had ideas of what was going to happen. And it's been lingering. It has not happened yet. Maybe the woman who founded this had ideas of, like, from the Lord, very God-given ideas of what was going to happen. I just sense that it's okay that it's taken time because God will be faithful. Interesting thing, when he was sharing earlier, I go to a church called Christian Assembly now. And the way it started, it was Italian Christian Assembly. So it was all these Italians, they gathered, and they would pray on a daily basis. And now it's years later, so this was the turn of the century in the 1900s. It's probably like early 1900s that that started. And it was all Italians, so there was a lot of food, a lot of community, and everybody spoke Italian. Well, now time has gone. Now it went through a very difficult time at a certain season where the pastor had an affair, and it looked like the church could possibly even close. Now it is a 5,000-member church. The interesting thing is that seed has remained. The big mark of that church is the same things that was the big mark of that church early. And that's just something that's interesting. What God, the seed, the very, whatever has been imparted in this season, even if you grow, because that's the thing I've had to even live with. Like, I enjoy intimate relationships. I enjoy knowing everyone. I enjoy all that. And when you grow, some of that is lost. But God keeps, he causes that still to happen in the midst of you. You might not know everyone now, but you'll still have those groups that will be very intimate. And that's one thing I've watched even in PIHOP and its growth, is that people are still developing very deep relationships. Deep relationships are still very much a part of this organization, even though it's grown. Because that was such a value at the very beginning. And that's the same what I've experienced at Christian Assembly. It's very community oriented. It's very, very family oriented. And big, like, people go there because they know their family will be taken care of. And that was such a big part of the value system of the initial. So I think that's always fascinating that even in the growth, growing will cause, in some ways, a death, especially for certain people that have been here, because it is like, oh, I mean, I had to die in some ways when I started to see the growth, because it was hard, but at the same time, I've watched how God is able to watch over the seeds and cause those things to still remain, even in the midst of the growth. So those years of experiencing sweet fellowship, of servant love, or whatever, it'll still happen in the midst of the bigger. I'm going to go into just for you guys, Isaiah 35 for the whole, for this congregation. This is the verse that I sensed for you guys. It has a desert in it. Yes, it does.
Did I tell you that a lot of people have given this?
No.
That's cool.
Yeah. There it is. Yeah. The desert is in it. Amen. I, he gave me a very significant part of this, and I said, I couldn't remember if it was in there or not, so I looked through Isaiah and said, okay, I'm looking for that particular phrase, and because I said, God, I don't want to give this just because it has the word desert in it, so help me out that I know this is from you. And so he gave me a particular phrase, and then it was in there, so then I was like, amen.
Yeah.
So the first part, verse 1, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. I want to stop right there. I do sense an emphasis in worship. I feel like that's something God is giving to you guys to emphasize in the worship. That he's going to develop your worship team or whatever, but I feel like there's an emphasis on that. That he wants joy and singing in the midst of you, and that that would be a very, even something that you would be known for, that people would think of you and think of worship, or think of that there, that's an aspect of, that's what I sensed from that. The glory of Lebanon should be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. This is, that's beautiful language. Interesting thing about the excellence of Carmel is I think of, obviously, Elijah. So I do sense family. Again, let's just look at verse 3 because it goes with it. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. And then it says, yeah, let's just stay there. I believe family restoration, this idea of really the family being strengthened emotionally. I just sense that being a part of, too, again, what God is emphasizing. And I think it's through prayer is one aspect. Whether it be praying for one another but I feel like God is going to take you deeper into prayer and seeing answered prayer. Because when I think of Elijah, I think of answered prayer, right? James says he was a man just like us. And when he prayed, it happened. But also just the Mount Carmel and what happened there, that it rained fire. I believe God is stretching just things that you will be believing for and then see it, especially in the midst of your family. I feel individual families, like your sons, daughters, because I think of Elijah, Malachi 4, where it says, the sons will come back to the fathers will turn towards the sons, that there would be just that real unity in the midst of family relationships, and that there would be an emphasis in that. So that's that.
That's really cool, because I feel like just since Aki and I have come here, like I've always just felt like there was such an anointing for the congregation to just feel family-like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, yeah, I guess just really made our transition a lot easier too. Like you can feel it even. Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
You know that people, it feels like family, and I think mm-hmm. that's just, yeah, the community aspect that has been fostered a lot.
And this, that you happen to be by a college campus, I do sense that God is going to give relationships with particular students, that they would experience the Father's love. They would experience, because I really sense that reality is going to be, because strengthen, I feel like what it's saying is there's tiredness in the midst of working, in the midst of serving. Like it causes tiredness when you just serve. What brings forth life is to experience love in the midst of that. If you feel loved and unconditionally loved, you'll have ability to serve with life. And so I feel like God is going to pour in. He really highlighted to me Carmel, and I think that again is about the spirit of Elijah. that the heart of the Father turning towards the children, that we would experience, I feel an emphasis on the Father's love. And that will happen, and I would say even having someone, like having, going as far as even having a conference that would be, you know what I mean, or whatever you do. But I could see having seminars or something on the Father's love. Yeah. And then it says, say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. That's verse 4. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. I feel like taking, it says, perfect love casts out fear. So again, it's just becoming rooted and established in love. That's Ephesians 3, 18, or 16 through 18, I think. Let me look at it, just so I'm not misquoting. It's 14 through 19. That this idea of experiencing the love of God, having experiential knowledge of the love of God. I feel it's interesting. This is a great blueprint in the sense of fear. Fear is rampant in our society right now. Probably, I think, you know, most people are on anti-anxiety medication. So it's a big deal if God is able to share with you ways that you can address the fear that is in people, whether it be fear of death, fear of finances, fear of whatever. But I just sense that God will address that. And then the next is, the eyes of the blind shall be open and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. I believe that is about the prophetic opening up, but I also sense it has to do with salvation. I believe you're going to experience people getting saved through the prophetic. Mm-hmm. And it says, then the lame shall leap like the deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched land shall become a pool. And that was the phrase. The parched ground shall become a pool. That's what I just saw. I actually saw that phrase. The parched land shall become a pool. And the thirsty land springs of water. And that is experience in the Holy Spirit. And just back to the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. That reminds us of someone's ministry, the ministry of Jesus, right? These are all signs that only we really, all of them from 5 and 6 are that we experienced through the life of Christ. The eyes were open, deaf heard, and lame leaped, and dumb people were speaking. So I sense that you're going to experience the ministry of Jesus in the midst of you. But I believe it's more than that. I believe it's, there's other things in the midst of that. And I think that is just the sensitivity to the Spirit. I really believe that's what the water is. There's a sensitivity of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. I'm just going to go with your Japanese background. But this idea of the quietness of the Japanese nature, you have to still and quiet yourself to hear the voice of God. And I believe God wants to spring forth through the Japanese people because of even that posturing. Yeah. It's in the culture to be stilled and quieted. Mm-hmm. And that, there's different, Psalm 131 is coming to me, but Psalm 62, Psalm 46, all of those have this idea of stillness in order to hear, stillness in order to know, and quietness. And so I believe that out of that is going to come this ability to really move in the Spirit, in the sense of hearing His voice and being able to bring it forth. And I just sense it. It's going to happen in relationships. It's all relational based too. It's not stage based. I really sense it just happening all throughout. You know what I mean? Not from the pulpit necessarily. It's more from just the, it's like the waterworks of the city. Mm-hmm. It's all done in the midst of, you know, just with one another. And I really sense there's going to be an openness around each other, and parched land is going to become like pools. Mm-hmm. And people will find refreshing in the midst of your small groups, in the midst of that. So that's what I sensed. Yeah, for just you guys. Amen. We'll see how it plays out. And these things, like, God, I feel like, breathes on later, but in more ways. And He'll, I'm sure, give more. Isaiah, man, this guy speaks to us so much. I mean, for me, he's always just spoken to me.
You touched on a lot of the things we have down as our vision and core values.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. International students, especially. I feel like God's going to use you in it.
Yeah, it was really neat. Just like, I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago, I felt the Lord kind of wake me up during the middle of the night. And yeah, and I felt Him want me just to write down some of the things that he spoke to me. But it was just on the, just how He had wired the Japanese people for, there was such a gift of intimacy that had been given to them, and that the enemy, he had tried to like sabotage it. But I felt like the Lord, like just even at JCCT, really showing you just, yeah, the gift that He has given the Japanese people to connect with Him at such an intimate level. And yeah, just exactly what Cheryl was saying in regards to just how, yeah, I feel like yeah, just the gentleness of spirit and just even your faithfulness towards the Lord too, and just how long all of you guys have been here already. I was like, that's, yeah, just the, I feel like it's just who you are. So faithful. And yeah, but I really felt like the Lord just showing me just how He had really gifted you in intimacy, and that just as a people, you would have such special depth with the Lord to share with others too.
I believe also hospitality. It's interesting that that's a gift of the Spirit, hospitality, right? And I believe, like, if you watch in the Bible, the hosting, the having that openness to open people and to have people come into your home, that Abraham was visited by this delegation from heaven. I mean, it's interesting, this ability to host it. It brings forth this idea of welcoming the Holy Spirit, I believe, of welcoming the ways of God, because it's always by hosting, like you think of Isaac looking for a bride because, you know, they hosted Eleazar or whatever. I mean, there's just this consistent idea. It's so in the Eastern culture to host. And I believe that then makes them susceptible to the Holy Spirit, because He has to be hosted. He's such a gentleman. He's not going to just abruptly come into your life. He's not going to just, I mean, we all have the Holy Spirit, but He's not going to be abrupt with, hey, I'm thinking of this, you know. He's going to wait for us to host and say, what do you think? Or what do you want? And that's another, I think, gift of the Japanese people, is this idea of hosting. Opening. I don't know. I just sense that for this people right here. You guys. I feel like there's an openness of your home. To open your homes. And I sense that that is, again, going to impact even you in your... Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, because now that I think about it, there's a privacy that's on the Japanese people too. That, but I really think the heart of it is this very much hosting people. So, yeah, Now, do you want, Aki, do you want me to pray for people individually?
Amen, yes.
Okay.